Hello and welcome to the Rising Ecosystems podcast from FDI Intelligence, where we explore the opportunities and challenges facing startups in cities around the world. I'm your host, Alex Owen-Hunt, and so far in this series, I've spoken to prominent entrepreneurs about their experiences in growing tech hubs such as Berlin, Istanbul, and Mexico City. Don't forget to subscribe to the FDI podcast to get access to all our previous episodes and more upcoming content. But in this episode, I'm traveling further east to discover more about the startup scene in the Indian city of Chennai. As the capital of the southeastern state of Tamil Nadu, Chennai is home to roughly 11 million people and is a popular destination for tourists who often flock to the city for its beaches, temples, and historical architecture. While Chennai has gained the nickname of the Detroit of India for its well-established automotive industry, the city has also emerged as a leading hub for startups developing software as a service, also known as SaaS. To find out a bit more about the city's growing SaaS ecosystem, I recently sat down with a prominent member of the community, Girish Mathrubootam. He is the founder and CEO of Freshworks, which develops software to help businesses manage their relationships with customers around the world. Since being founded in Chennai in 2010, Freshworks has grown from a small operation to a global SaaS player. It is now operating in 13 global locations and sells its software to over 50,000 companies worldwide. In September 2021, Freshworks reached a significant milestone, listing on the Nasdaq Stock Exchange at a valuation of $10.1 billion. Beyond his role as CEO of Freshworks, Girish has also invested in over 60 startups himself and is a founding member of SaaS Boomi, a community for founders and engineers in the SaaS industry. As you can imagine, Girish has a lot to share about his experiences as an entrepreneur, Chennai's startup ecosystems, and plenty of useful tips for founders getting into the SaaS industry. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Girish. Girish, welcome to the Rising Ecosystems podcast.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to start from the beginning of Freshworks' journey, if I may. Could you tell us a little bit about why you co-founded the company back in 2010 when it was called Freshdesk, and a little bit of the story behind how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. The story of Freshworks started in 2009 with a broken TV and a poor customer service experience that I had with the shipping company who wouldn't process the insurance claim for my TV when I was moving back to Chennai. So I think the aha moment for me in 2010, after a 6-month struggle with the shipping company, was I finally decided to kind of write about my experience online, and the company was forced to do the right thing and pay my insurance claim. And the aha moment for me was really how the rise of social media is changing the power dynamics in the world of customer service. And as somebody who had built 4 help desks before Freshdesk, this was the idea to build a fresh help desk. That's why the company was called Freshdesk, where the first product that we launched was to help businesses listen to customer complaints, not just via phone and email or chat, but also through social media like Twitter and Facebook. And if you recall 2010, Twitter and Facebook were just getting started for business use cases. So that's the story of how we started. And I think it's been a fantastic journey. And as you know, we took Freshworks public on Nasdaq on September 22nd. And it is a phenomenal journey to build a company from scratch, starting in Chennai, in a no-name suburb, to in 11 years, taking it to a 10 billion plus company to IPO on Nasdaq. It's really something that all of us at Freshworks are super proud of, but we're more excited about the journey moving forward.
As you say, Girish, it's a phenomenal journey, and congratulations on reaching that milestone of going public on the Nasdaq. But if we stay in Chennai in 2010, what was it really like to found a startup in the city at that time?
So let me tell you, the world is very different today than it was in 2010. In 2010 in Chennai, there was no startup ecosystem, literally. There were very, very few startups itself. And our initial challenges were all very fundamental, like, for example, getting a good office space. So there were no co-working spaces that are today mushrooming in every city in the world. And in Chennai, it used to be these large IT parks, which had millions of square foot vacant, but they were not startup friendly. You can't go and just get a 10-seater office or a 6-seater office. We were six people in 2011. We couldn't find an easy plug and play office, right? So the situation was very different. And also when we took an office, which our initial rent was like $150 per month in those days, dollar terms. And that office, like, we used to struggle with a lot of infrastructure problems. And when I say infrastructure problems, it was not AWS infrastructure or database sharding. It was more like, hey, there's no water today in the restrooms, or there's no power and no parking for our cars and things like that. So I think, in fact, when we got the first $1 million funding from Accel Partners, the first thing we wanted to do was get out of that office and move into a proper IT park, which had a proper setup for an office. So I think we have come a long way. In fact, VCs wouldn't come to Chennai in 2011 because they couldn't fill their calendar with meetings for the day. So they would set up a meeting with me, and then on Sunday they will call and cancel because they'd give me some reason, because we were the only company at that time in Chennai, and it didn't make sense for the VC to travel all the way from Bangalore or Mumbai to come to Chennai to meet just one company. So I think if you look at it in that context, in the last 10 years, things have taken a dramatic change, where there's a thriving ecosystem today. There is tons of activity in the startup world. Almost every VC is looking to fund B2B startups. And Chennai is now established as the SaaS capital of India. And we call it SaaS Bhumi. Bhumi in Tamil means earth. So I think we've come a long way.
I'm very glad that you've mentioned SaaS Bhumi, which of course is a community of SaaS founders that you've helped develop in Chennai. And I certainly want to hear a bit more about that later in our conversation. But if we come back to the recent listing on the NASDAQ, a fantastic milestone to reach, given the humble beginnings of Freshworks that you've just outlined. Can you describe a little bit about what the transition is like from being a private company to going public?
So I think the first thing that I felt personally, I'll start with that. So I personally felt a great sense of happiness and fulfillment, because for everybody who believed in Freshworks, whether it was our employees, early employees, or our early VC investors, I saw that listing on NASDAQ as fulfillment of my responsibility as the CEO to give them the liquidity that they needed for our early shareholders, like both employees and VCs, while I'm taking on new responsibility to our public market investors. But the more dominant feeling was that I felt energized for the journey ahead, because what happened, if you look back, I don't know if you were following like all the social media activity, it was much more than Freshworks IPO. Like, India celebrated the IPO as its own IPO. Like, every startup founder felt happiness that, hey, like, this is our, it was as if their company was going public, right? And we inspired founders, VCs were super excited, because this is the kind of exit that brings more investment into India. So employees were super inspired. We also managed to inspire the common man, like where they could see, because so many people have seen Freshworks grow, start as a startup and grow over the years. And in 10 years, 11 years, to actually do this, we managed to create so much inspiration that now I feel that, hey, this is a lot of pressure, and pressure is a privilege, right? So take that pressure very, very seriously, and we want to use it to energize our folks. And I feel super energized to use all of that. Now we are India's national champion, and we have to keep going and keep running and keep winning.
And yeah, that is exactly why I wanted to ask the question. You know, big exits and national champions such as Freshworks tend to inspire future founders and feed funding and expertise back into the ecosystem. And it's something that we've covered earlier in this podcast series. But given that, I mean, what do you think your role is now as a successfully exited company? And also, what are some of the lessons you've learned from going global from India that you'd like to share with any entrepreneurs that might be listening?
Yeah, first of all, the exit is only for the whoever wants to exit, right? Like the VC investors. But really, this is an opportunity to truly build an iconic world-class company that happened to come out of India. So our goal at Freshworks was always to build a world-class product company. It just so like how Skype started in Estonia or Atlassian started in Australia. So we happened to start in Chennai, India, and we are super proud of that. But the goal is to build a world-class product company. And I think that journey, we are just getting started. So in that sense, it's not an exit, right? It's a milestone moment where we are celebrating for a day. But as I said, we are back to work. And so I think it's truly a great opportunity. And that is what I want the other founders to also take away from this. So it's truly a massive opportunity. If you can play in the right markets, like we are operating in three massive markets, if you have products that are focused on like delighting customers, and if customers are really excited about your products, you can keep going for a long, long time. And I think a lot of times as founders, when we start up, we don't dream big enough. And I'm speaking from myself. I did not start the company thinking that I'm going to change the world or make a dent in the universe. So my dreams were more, okay, how do we get to $1 million of revenue, or how can we build our second product? But now truly, as we kept scaling, I think we now realize how big this opportunity could be. And so that's super energizing. And I want all founders to understand that the markets are big and you can keep going, and you just have to believe and keep executing.
Absolutely. And I wish you all the best on your continual growth and expansion. If we come back to your experience in Chennai and more broadly India, as you mentioned, Bangalore, of course, is another renowned tech hub. What do you think makes India and specifically Chennai stand out as a tech hub?
See, I think if you look at India SaaS, which is starting in India, but building products for the world, going global from day one, the opportunity is massive because of, first I'll start with three broad changes in the last 2 decades, which are acting as catalyst, right? So if you go back to the dot-com days, if you want to start a company, right, you needed millions of dollars to even start, like because you had to invest in data centers and you had to hire people in the valley, and you have to be in the valley. So I think number one, the rise of AWS actually enabled anybody to start from anywhere with relatively, like you don't even need anything. AWS is giving you like, or Azure or Google Cloud is giving you 50K, 100K credits. So you can get started with nothing. Second, the ability to find customers online. So through platforms like Google and Google AdWords and Google Search. So the market is suddenly global for every entrepreneur, no matter where you are. So finding customers is not a problem. The third and the most important thing is digital transformation of every business. Even before COVID, this was happening, but after COVID, like there's no way any business anywhere in the world could not sell online. And if you're selling online, you need to have the systems to actually support customers online, market to customers online, sell customers online, have inventory online. So there is a huge digital transformation of every business. Now, when you look at all these three, so the playing field is now leveled. And if you compare to the traditional business model, like if a company is going after or if a company is built in Silicon Valley, usually they build for the Fortune 500 in the past, because that's where you could get the big money, right? Like you have salespeople who will go and call in on these enterprise customers. So we did not build for the Fortune 500. We built for the Fortune 5 million, as I say it. So I think that is the opportunity for any entrepreneur, not just in India, but anywhere outside of the valley, can today build products. And the key is product-led growth. So, and Freshworks was practicing product-led growth before the term became a buzzword. So we are hearing it for the last 2-3 years, but in 2011, when we started, our first 7 customers, I think, came from 4 different continents. So we were entering businesses, like users were finding us online and taking us into the company. So product-led growth is an important disruptor, which entrepreneurs should understand that if you're starting somewhere in the world, you can't hire like a big VP of sales who will go and sell to a million-dollar deal to a customer. You need to let your product find its way into the customer somewhere in the world, right? So that is one of the lessons I tell like people in Chennai or in India, that how can you build or engineer product-led growth into your product. So that is important today for anybody to win. The second is hybrid sales model. So because of this digital transformation of SMBs, so we can actually have, India is no longer a back office engineering center. It can also be a go-to-market center. Like you can have salespeople calling and selling to customers, whether in North America or in Europe or in Australia. So we have pretty much our entire SMB business, which is more than 40% of our revenue, is all closed out of Chennai. Like we have sales teams sitting and helping customers. And these customers could be like people with $100, $200 budget. Like they're putting their credit card and buying software. So it's not like a consultative sale. And that is a business model disruptor. Like it's a hybrid sales model where product-led growth takes your product into the company, but you're also calling them and helping them make their choice or helping them evaluate the product. So I think and the third important lesson for founders in Chennai is, hey, you may not always have been there, done that talent. Like we definitely did not have that when we started, right? So in the Valley, if you want to hire for a SaaS marketing person, you could hire for 9 different disciplines of marketing, like influencer marketing, digital marketing, and content marketing, and so on. In Chennai, if I were to find somebody who has done software marketing, it would be a win. So, but that doesn't matter. Like my advice to founders is, hey, don't always look for being there, done that talent. You can bet on smart youngsters who have the right capability and they can learn and grow into those roles. And that's what we had demonstrated so many times over the years when we hired young talent who like learned and performed beautifully. And that's so empowering for the people also. Like when they know that, hey, they can come in and the company would respect that and they can learn and grow. So I think we have hundreds of examples of hiring talent like that.
That's a great point. And certainly that's probably a marker that you're still very bullish of the potential of the talent in Chennai and the potential for future successful startups to come out the ecosystem. And that gets back to what we were discussing earlier about the so-called SaaS Bhumi, this community of founders that I understand that you lead, right, in Chennai. So there's a lot of positives, but of course, like any startup ecosystem, there is always room for improvement. You know, the operating environments are never as slick and easy as they could be, perhaps. I wonder what areas you'd like to see improved in Chennai to really take the startup ecosystem to the next level.
No, I think, so first thing, let's start with the good stuff, right? Like, so SaaS Bhumi has been like one of the best things that happened to me personally in my life, as well as for India SaaS, if you talk to people who have attended the conference. So one fundamental learning that I've had from any event, right? The more focused the event is, the better the content is. Like if you go to a generic entrepreneurship event, like the content becomes so diluted and you have these meaningless panels where people are just sponsors who are talking about this. So in SaaS Bhumi, we truly created a system where only founders are invited to attend and only founders get speaking slots, or anybody who's speaking has to have relevant content and have anecdotal experience. There's no general sponsorship talk or gyan giving, right? And no meaningless panel discussions. So we made that as a mandate, and that turned out to be like one of the best things in terms of the quality of the content. So, and the second thing that we did was we actually started a paid forward culture where, because it was all founders, we started sharing openly about like conversion metrics, numbers, ARR, churn, tactics that worked, and so on. And once people started doing that, everybody started doing that. And so the general tendency of, okay, I want to hold on close to my numbers and I won't share it with anybody. So all of that was broken. So if you come to SaaS Bhumi annual in Chennai, it's like an Indian wedding where you see all these friends and relatives and you're all happily sharing. So I think that is the feeling of SaaS Bhumi annual, to the extent that today, if you see the sponsor list for SaaS Bhumi, right? Like if it's like AWS and Microsoft Azure and all the VCs, they're all sponsors because everybody knows it's a great thing. Like I heard from the AWS folks in Singapore that Andy Jassy every quarter gets a quadrant of what's good, what's bad happening anywhere in the world. And SaaS Bhumi was mentioned there as a phenomenal thing that was happening in Chennai 2 years ago. So I think the number one thing we would like to improve is, or at least get back, was COVID isn't really helping. So there's a lot of action happening and knowledge sharing happening face to face. And so we are all waiting for things to open up so that we can go back and do in-person events. And one of the other nice things that is happening and should continue is passing the baton. So SaaS Bhumi is fully run by volunteers. I think two people today who are full-time employees of SaaS Bhumi, only two, right? And they're volunteers, but their job is to like make sure that the volunteer run operation continues. And if you look at this year or event, this year's events, so the next generation of SaaS leaders, whether it's ChargeBee or Postman and BrowserStack, and so they're all stepping up, and Matt Street Den, and the founders of those companies are coming in and running the event. So it's not like Girish or Manav or Suresh, who were the initial co-founders of SaaS Bhumi. So it's not just us. So I think that's a great thing, and we have to continue to do that. And that is the best way to keep this going forward, to bring fresh perspectives, young talent, new talent, and everybody is still following the paid forward culture, and they're coming in and helping the next generation of startups.
Yeah, and absolutely, Girish. I mean, this is something I've touched on earlier in this podcast series about the importance of events in bringing together startup ecosystems, knowledge sharing, as you say, looking at those numbers, don't hold them close to your chest. Actually, it's good to be avuncular, share this knowledge and data with people, founders, maybe earlier on in their journey. So clearly a lot of exciting things happening and some big name sponsors, and great to hear a little bit more about that. But if we touch on some of the areas you'd like to see improved in Chennai, what would you say? What do you think is needed to boost that ecosystem to the next level, to become the Bay Area of India, if you like?
No, I think probably availability of talent is the most important bottleneck for any city, I would say, and for Chennai too. So we need to invest more in preparing college graduates to be more industry ready. And to that extent, Freshworks, actually we run a Freshworks School of SaaS. We are tying up with a few universities where we are going to engineering students in their second year and third year, where we are actually teaching them SaaS concepts and programming with security and scalability, deploying on AWS, and all of that is built into the course. So I think talent is the most important bottleneck for Chennai, actually. You can get a lot of fresh talent, but experienced talent is very, very scarce to come by. But I think you can say that for any city in the world.
Certainly, this is something that's come across in my conversations with other entrepreneurs in different cities. Talent is always a challenge. I presume with some of the big name VCs you've mentioned, and certainly you've had some pretty big name backers over your time prior to going public, Akel and Tiger Global Management. Is there ample supply of funding for startups in Chennai, or is that another area that perhaps could be?
I think today there is too much funding. It's the problem on the other side. I think I truly think that there's a lot of money being printed, and it's finding its way. It's got nowhere to go because of COVID, most industries are disrupted. So tech is probably the only safe haven for money. And with interest rates being so low, a lot of the money is going into stock markets and startups. And so today we are seeing a funding boom. It's great for entrepreneurs and startups. So in that sense, I'm happy, but the valuations are going up every day, and maybe it's not too healthy. So, but nobody knows what's the right level of funding. So, probably if you look at it from a founder standpoint, it's a great time to be a founder.
As a penultimate question, I'd like to discuss your decision to move Freshworks headquarters to San Mateo in California, which of course is in Silicon Valley. We discussed earlier in our conversation some of the challenges in Chennai in terms of finding specific kinds of talent. You mentioned marketing as one example. Of course, there's many different niches within marketing. I mean, maybe that's one benefit, but could you describe some of the other benefits of moving your headquarters to the US?
Yeah, no, I think, when we started thinking about taking Freshworks public, my role as a captain of the team is to field the best team possible, right? So it's as simple as that. And if the CEO is in Chennai, it was hard for me to kind of build the right kind of management team to take the company public, right? So a good example would be Tyler Sloat, our CFO. Like he's one of the top CFOs in the Valley, spent 10 years at Zora. It's an authority on subscription economy, like subscription SaaS. So we couldn't, even when Freshworks was of meaningful revenue scale, let's say $100-150 million, we couldn't attract a lot of top management talent because everybody was in India, right? The CEO was in India. That's something we wanted to change. So I realized that, okay, my job as the CEO is to build the right team. And so that's one of the main reasons why I moved. And I think you can see now that we have assembled a world-class management team, a fantastic independent board. And so everything worked according to plan, and we are glad.
No, glad to hear it. And again, I wish you the best of luck in your continual journey. Girish, it's been fascinating to hear a bit more about your experiences, the reality of being an entrepreneur in Chennai, and some more specifics about the SaaS industry. I wonder, just to wrap up our conversation, if there's one main message you want to leave our listeners about Chennai as a startup ecosystem and Freshworks' journey to get to where it is today.
No, I think it's time for the world to pay attention and wake up to SaaS from India, because every market is being disrupted. So McKinsey released a report on how India SaaS is going to be a $1 trillion market opportunity, and they've identified 450 different micro segments of market which is up for disruption. And so India SaaS is here to stay. After Freshworks, you will see, I consider that we are fortunate to be the first one to go public, but there's going to be a lot more companies coming. We are super excited for Freshworks also to continue the journey as we keep executing and continuing our journey as a successful public company. So looking forward to that. But India SaaS, keep an eye on that.
I'm sure our global listeners will be keeping their eyes fixed on the SaaS market in India. Girish, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed that conversation with Girish. I think he has a truly amazing story as an entrepreneur, successfully scaling Freshworks from a small operation in Chennai to become a global SaaS player. And he's now sitting in Silicon Valley and listing on the stock exchange. And really, this whole story has put Chennai on the map as a leading hub for software as a service. And really is a shining example of how far technology ecosystems have come over the last decade. Now there's readily available funding, albeit with some of the pitfalls that Girish mentioned, maybe even too much funding. But I mean, as an overall message, I think we may well see some more global success stories such as Freshworks coming out of Chennai and some other Indian tech ecosystem. But that brings us to the end of another edition of Rising Ecosystems and the last one of 2021. Listeners can expect many more conversations with entrepreneurs in the new year. So make sure to stay tuned, and I hope that all of you get a chance to take some time off before things start up again in full in 2022. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the FDI podcast for free wherever you listen to get all the episodes of Rising Ecosystems and much more. You might also like our other content, such as The Bill Bauer Effect, our sister podcast that explores whether culture can boost economic development. And we certainly can find much more content on our website at fdiintelligence.com. I've been Alex Owen Hunt. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Center.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.